Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Imagine that you are a five-year-old child and you've had a pretty hard life so far. Maybe your father has been killed by vicious drug dealers or by the dictator that runs the country you're escaping from. Or maybe your family is being persecuted on the basis of its religion. Or maybe you've just had really trouble finding enough to eat because mom and dad just can't get enough to feed you. So mom or dad or both of them tell you there's this country called America. America, known to be a country of refugees, a country that takes in people who need help, who need to restart their lives. That's their history. You're five. You don't get all that. You just know that mom and dad are taking you to another place, a better place, a safer place. And you're wandering through the desert, walking long distance with your family, and suddenly, out of nowhere, a bunch of armed men come and grab you. You scream, of course. You cry, you thrash, you're 5 years old. They rip you out of your mother's arms. She cries after you. She calls your name, but they rip her apart from you, grab you, and suddenly you're thrown in prison in some concentration camp of some sort where there's a bunch of other children. Everyone speaks a language you don't understand. Some of the kids speak your language, some don't. But where's mom? Where's dad? You're 5 years old, crying every day for mommy, for daddy. You're probably separated from your brothers and sisters as well. You've gone from this cocoon where your family's had a hard life to being all alone in the world. Think of the post-traumatic stress that's going to cause. And your oppressor? Well, it's the United States government. Your oppressor is the United States. This country called America is oppressing you even worse, perhaps, than the country you come from. Oh, they don't threaten your physical safety. They don't torture you physically, they torture you mentally and emotionally. They take your mommy away from you. They take your daddy away from you. You have no idea where they are. They have no idea where you are. They can't communicate with you. And you're five. Or you're eight. You don't get it. All you know is your life has been ripped away in a way it never has been before. By the way, if you do grow up to be a terrorist that hates America, can we really blame you? But that's not the reason this policy is so offensive. The reason it's offensive is because it's offensive to rip children out of the hands of their parents, no matter what your political goal is. White House officials have confirmed that they don't really like torturing children either. They just are doing it as a bargaining chip. You understand, right? We've taken your children. Pay me a sum of money as ransom, and we'll let your children go. It's no different than any other terrorist would do. Only it's your country. It's your country's policy. And you know what? It's not just Donald Trump. It's not just Donald Trump and Stephen Miller, the aide who put this policy into place, put it in Sessions' head, in Trump's head, the guy who worked with Nazi neo-Nazi Richard Spencer to develop the policy, which apparently at this point is only being applied against brown kids. I mean, if you're going to be racist, you have to separate brown kids from their parents. You wouldn't want to do that to white kids from Norway. And this policy is being condemned by no other than the First Lady of the United States, Melania Trump, being condemned by First Lady Laura Bush, being condemned by First Lady Michelle Obama. But Melania's condemnation is perhaps most interesting. I can't recall in my lifetime a First Lady openly opposing her husband's policies. So much so, apparently, that it's causing Donald Trump to lie about it. Surely he's not persuading Melania. She's not that stupid. Who is stupid enough to believe that these aren't his policies? I mean, it's a really stupid lie, Donald, because your supporters are racist. They like separating brown kids from their parents. They like to sadistically cause pain to people of different colors. They want to think it is your policy. And those of us that know it's your policy are smart enough to know that. So who are you lying to? But meanwhile, it's important to note that this is not just Donald Trump's policy. This is the policy of every single Republican in Congress. Not a single Republican in Congress, to my knowledge, as of yet, let me know if I'm wrong, folks, has condemned this policy, not in the Senate, not in the House. And one thing's for sure, they ain't passing legislation to stop it, which they could easily do, particularly since every single Democrat opposes it. So if you do believe in child abuse, if you believe in abusing children and ripping them apart from their parents in order to get some policy thing you want, well, you'll want to vote for Republican this fall. But if you believe that children shouldn't be bargaining sticks, that we shouldn't kidnap children and hold them as hostages, if you believe that that fundamentally opposes what America is about and turns us into close to a terrorist state, well, you're going to have to get out there and not just vote for Democrats this fall, but work and organize and help Democrats win. Contribute your time, your energy, your dollars. It's hard to express how disgusted I am. It is. I'm almost as disgusted as the Republicans are silent about this. When this policy first happened, was first disclosed, I should say, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I came on air condemning it, and I compared it to the internment camps that we put Japanese Americans in during World War II. Camps that were found legal by the Supreme Court, but are universally condemned by most Americans today. We've even paid reparations for it. Interestingly, Laura Bush just yesterday came up with the same comparison. So for those that think it was a radical comparison, I think you're going to have to argue with Laura Bush. But to be fair, of course, it's much, much worse than that. In the internment camps, as awful and wrong as those were, the Japanese Americans at least did not separate kids from their parents. They were interned together. The 5-year-olds, the 8-year-olds, they had mommy and daddy by their side. They at least could be interned as families. You have to go back to, well, Nazi concentration camps, North Korean concentration camps, to find examples of kids forcibly removed from their parents when none have committed a crime. Let me reemphasize that. None have committed a crime. First of all, you may be shocked to know that crossing our nation's borders without permission is not a crime. Did you know that? It's a civil offense. Immigration laws are not criminal laws. They are civil laws, and they are civilly enforced. But you may be more surprised to know that many of these kids coming across the border with their parents are doing so legally. That's because many of them are seeking asylum. You heard how I described children and parents escaping oppression, economic oppression, political oppression, religious oppression. And they're seeking asylum in the United States. And you know what? That's not only legal, it's actually a result of a treaty signed by many countries after World War II. When Jews trying to escape Germany came to these shores, were turned away and forced back into Nazi concentration camps where many were gassed and shot and otherwise exterminated. We said never again. We said never again. So we have a policy, a law that says you must be allowed to apply for asylum. And then you have due process. You have to prove you're being persecuted on the basis of your religion or your politics or your nationality. And you can make your case. Well, until 2018, you could make your case with your parents by your side. Until 2018, we didn't require a four-year-old to somehow figure out how to hire and pay for a lawyer to present his or her claims. What kind of due process is it to ask a four-year-old to navigate a foreign legal system? And I'm not exaggerating when I say four-year-old. We know of hundreds of children under the age of six kept from their parents. And if you ask yourself, who would have the indecency to support such a policy? The answer is every single Republican in Congress. Because they're not doing anything to stop it. They could sign a discharge petition. That's what you sign in the House if you disagree with your leadership. Paul Ryan ain't doing nothing. So all I need is 20 Republicans to join with all the Democrats, and bingo, we get a law out there. Has your Republican representative signed a discharge petition to do what Melania Trump and Laura Bush are asking them to do? Not even to free these children, but please don't separate these toddlers from their parents? Is there any compassion to anyone who's a Republican? And if you are a Republican and you do have some compassion, it's time for you to distance yourself from the party. It's time for you to become a Democrat or at least an independent. It's time for you to vote your elected representatives out. If you believe in family values is not about oppressing gay people. Family values is about loving families and helping to keep them together and not forcibly separating loving families one from the other. If that's not family values, I don't know what is. This is Mark Levine. We're going to take a break. Feel free to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about, well, the kidnapping, the way Republicans have taken children hostage. Completely admitting, by the way, that they're doing it because they want their border wall. And if they have to destroy children's lives forever, give them permanent post-traumatic stress, ruin a bunch of kids who've done nothing wrong. There are four, remember, or six or eight or nine, just to get a wall that frankly is kind of useless in the scope of a couple thousand mile border that already has some walls on it and really is just a symbol, a very expensive symbol. But whatever you think about the wall, I hope we can all agree that kidnapping children is not the way, at least not the American way, to get what we want. You know, some of us even oppose torturing terrorists in order to get a confession. And in that case, even though it doesn't work, there's at least an argument that it makes sense. These are terrible people. We're torturing them in the hopes that they disclose whatever we need to help save American lives. In this case, we're torturing little children to persuade parents not to seek a better life in America the way our ancestors did. I'm not quite sure why, but if you're squeamish about torturing terrorists, why do you support torturing children? Got Michael on the Bronx, Old Faithful, on the line today. Line three. How are you, Michael?
Hey, Mark. I'm so glad that she's got me on. Because, first off, let's not forget that when you mention about the little children, they're crying. And the parents are crying. Mommy and daddy don't know where the child is. And the child doesn't know where mommy or daddy is. Let's not forget also that the child, him or herself, don't know where he or she is.
That's right.
That's
they have no idea. That's right.
All right. And let's...
One of our commenters on Facebook pointed out that many of them don't even speak Spanish. They speak indigenous languages, and nobody is there to even communicate with them.
But let's also get straight here that there is no law permitting or justifying this Trump policy.
Nope.
There is no actual biblical narrative permitting or justifying this policy, despite what Jeff Sessions and these Republicans are trying
nope.
to grab a couple of words here, a couple of words there, and create a false narrative. So you debunk that right there. And then Trump has the audacity to raise the MS-13 gang issue. That is totally, totally irrelevant. But let's look at this.
Yeah, I'm not sure how a six-year-old escaping persecution is somehow involved with the MS-13. They're probably trying to escape the MS-13. We're harming the victims of this.
But Mark, see, this whole thing is Trump's racism, because as you pointed out about Norway, we can even add Australia or even Ireland for that matter. Nothing against those countries, of course, but it just goes to show about Trump's inhumane approach towards legitimate people of any and all nationalities.
But here's the part I want to focus on, Michael. At this point, no one can doubt that Trump is a racist. No one can doubt that he has no empathy for anyone other than himself. Everyone knows that. To me, what's even more interesting is the Republican Party falling in line. Absolutely falling in line. And to the extent that one differs from it, they're primaried out or they're forced out of office, or
Lamar,
in John McCain's case, he's dying. But the point is that's the only Republicans that are opposing Trump.
But let me just add to that and pretty much illustrate this in support of you, what you're talking about, that Trump is on record saying all Mexicans, Muslims are rapists, they're evil and all that stuff. Lo and behold, what happens? A Mexico soccer team just won a world championship fair and square. You're going to retract that statement? Knowing Trump, he won't. And that's crossing the line with males, with men. He crossed the line with women, talking about grabbing them by the you-know-what, and that he could do whatever he wants to whoever he wants.
I know.
So you cross the line with women.
Hey, Michael. We're coming up on a hard break. If you want to stay on, you can. I'm going to encourage others to call in as well. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'm also going to talk at some point, probably the latter part of the show, about the Supreme Court case on gerrymandering. The Wisconsin case came down and decided very little. Back after this.
Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Insights with my host, Mark Levine, talking about, well, the way that Republicans are taking children as hostages in order to get their border wall. It's important for folks to understand this isn't just Donald Trump. Intelligent people realize that Donald Trump is racist, that he's a liar, that he doesn't give a hoot for anyone but himself. Most Americans, I think, realize that. What they may not realize is that the Republican Party is completely in cahoots with him. And to the extent they're not, and I should tell you privately, many Republican elected officials tell me horrible things about Donald Trump, but they don't say it publicly. And the reason they don't, well, it's political. They're afraid they'll be primaried out. We know that recently happened in South Carolina with Mark Sanford. We know that Jeff Flake was threatened with a primary. Bob Corker, both are leaving the Senate because they don't support Donald Trump, and they know if they say so, they'll lose their race. I guess John McCain has nothing to fear but beating his cancer. But there really aren't many Republicans left. As one of my contributors pointed out, even Senator Susan Collins, long known as the only moderate Republican, has at least condemned separating children from their parents, but hasn't offered anything in the way of legislation to do something about it. At least she's talking, no action. Most of the others won't even talk. So they are complicit. They could talk out. They could put their principles above their political careers, but they're not doing that. And they're not doing that because a substantial part of their supporters like the separation of children from their parents. Because Trumpism is racism, and because if you're a Republican today, you have to appeal to racists. And remember, by the way, this is a neo-Nazi idea. The guy who developed this idea, Stephen Miller, is a guy who worked to raise money for neo-Nazi Richard Spencer, right? These are racist ideas, cruel ideas, sadistic ideas. But if Republicans are not racist and they're not sadistic, why won't they speak out? Why does it have to be Laura Bush and Melania Trump? Those are the two most prominent Republicans opposing this policy. Probably because they're not running for re-election. I mean, I'm glad, very glad, that Laura Bush and Melania Trump, that these first ladies are sticking up for the children. But where are the other Republicans, the other Republican women, much less the Republican men? Why aren't they speaking out? They're not speaking out because they know that the people who are still in their party fundamentally believe in racism, fundamentally believe it's okay to mistreat children in order to get their goals. And frankly, most Republicans who aren't sadists or racists have left the party, as they should, as we all should. If this leads to a landslide victory of Democrats in 2018, then good. Let America be revolted by this conduct. And let's lead the way to the America I love, the America personified by the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tire, your poor, huddled masses yearning to give, be free. Michael from the Bronx, I know you got some more to say. You've got the mic. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I try to be as fast as I can. All right, first off, I need to correct you on something, Mark, before I go into my summary. And as you say, this is the action of the government. No, it is not. This is the action of Trump and Trump supporters, because the government is made up of laws and the Constitution. There is nothing in the law nor in the Constitution that permits or justifies this kind of terrorism, and yes, I'm calling it terrorism, that we are witnessing here by someone who, in my view, got into the White House with the help of Russian meddling.
Yep.
And just to drive home how serious this is, and this racism, this inexcusable hate. As I said before the break, that Mr. Trump has crossed the line with many minority men when he says that all Mexicans, all Muslims, all blacks, any minority you can think of, are evil, they're bad, they're rapists. But then look what happens with the World Cup soccer, in which the Mexican team has won. Go eat crow, Trump, for that one. And then he crosses the line with females, constantly boasting about grabbing them by you-know-what, getting out of line with this female, that female, committing infidelity.
Right. I think we know. Trump's list, if you were to describe everything Trump has done, evil or wrong, it would take the rest of the show. So, I mean, obviously I agree with you, Michael, but I want to focus on the children and also focus on the fact that it's not just Trump. This is not just Trump. I mean, it's the people who control the government. You're right that not only Donald Trump controls the government. It's Congress, too, that's allowing this to happen. It's the courts, too, that's allowing it to happen. And sometimes it's up to us to show some, well, civil disobedience from our country. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker, who is a Republican, but a Massachusetts Republican, has said that he won't send National Guard troops to the border because of the Trump administration's cruel and inhumane treatment of the children. So good for Charlie Baker. I am glad anytime a Republican joins this chorus of Democrats. He's a Massachusetts Republican, but we can fight back. It is the government as currently controlled, illegitimate as it is, they have the power right now, Michael, and all we can do is speak out and fight back.
That these are kids, you mentioned their ages, 4, 5, or 6 years old,
many,
who are too young to understand the dynamics of this hatred that they're being dragged into, and they are the victims, and they must be saying the forever question in their head, why, what did I do wrong? I didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I've just been pointed out to another Republican, Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse. He wrote, quote, the administration's decision to separate families is a new discretionary choice. Anyone saying that their hands are tied or that the only conceivable way to fix the problem of catch and release is to rip families apart is flat wrong, unquote. So Ben Sasse, Senator Sasse, like Senator Collins, is at least speaking out against this. Good for them. But are they sponsoring any legislation to stop it? I haven't heard that. And to me, talking's better than not talking. But talking without action is still pretty weak sauce. Hey, thanks for your call, Michael. I always appreciate when you call in. Folks, it's 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll continue this if there's callers on this. Otherwise, I want to talk about the United States Supreme Court decision today on gerrymandering. I've been waiting years for this decision, and they punted. I'll explain when we come back.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Voice of reason in an unreasonable world. Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, talking about the Republican policy of separating young children from their parents as a way to torture the children enough to convince Democrats in Congress to give in to the border wall, holding children hostage. Can you imagine if terrorists did this? What we'd think? Tamara, line 5, Joplin, Missouri. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark.
Thanks for calling in.
I don't understand how Republican women can look at these pictures of these babies crying and not feel something for them on a human basis. The women that are caring for these children have been told not to touch them, not to pick them up, not to comfort them. And it reminds me of a study that the Nazis did where they took babies and this group over here was loved and this group over here was ignored. They fed them and changed them and that's it. The babies that were ignored became angry in their crying, they stopped eating, and they died.
I don't know if that's a Nazi study or not. I know that there was a study on chimpanzees where they had one model which was all wire, had no fur, and that gave the food to the chimps, and the other was just sort of this comfort, this fur statue, and that they hung on to that one. I will tell you this, though. I went to look up to see whether you're right about these policies, and I found an article which I posted in the Facebook live that I'm doing right now from the UK Independent, who cites a doctor, Dr. Colleen Kraft, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. So So this isn't just some woman, some doctor. This is obviously a highly informed medical doctor, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. So she, all she does is treat children. And she went to visit a shelter for children under the age of 12 that runs along the Texas border with Mexico. The article says the shelter had 60 beds and a little playground for children with toys, books, and crayons, but the children were not happy. She describes a little girl, no older than 2, screaming and pounding her fists on a mat constantly. Yet, the article writes, this confirms what you say, Tamara, staff members could not comfort the infant because of the rules prohibiting physical contact. Dr. Kraft wrote, "The really devastating thing was that we all knew what was going on with this child. We all knew what the problem was. She didn't have her mother, and none of us could fix that." The article goes on to note that 2,000 immigrant children were separated from their parents just during 6 weeks in April and May. Go ahead.
It is true. When you go look and you'll see, it was actually a study done with human babies by the Third Reich.
All right. I just hadn't heard of it, but I believe you.
And I'm just mortified that they're doing it, that the people aren't seeing. The next thing Trump and them will come for are disabled children on Social Security. They will knock on your door one day, and they will remove your child.
Again, quoting Dr. Kraft, quote, "The really basic foundational needs of having trust in adults as a young child was not being met. That contradicts everything we know that kids need to build their health," unquote. Such a situation could have long-term devastating effects on young children who are likely to develop what is called toxic stress in their brain once separated from caregivers or parents they trusted. It disrupts a child's brain development and increases the levels of fight or flight hormones in their bodies. This kind of emotional trauma could eventually lead to health problems such as heart disease and substance abuse disorders. I would go on to say that it was likely to lead to criminal behaviors. We know that many of the people who commit violent crimes today were mistreated as children. Many child abusers were abused as children. The irony is we are creating terrorists right here in America off lovely, innocent children. We are creating kids who, no doubt, will come after us, and I don't even blame them. I understand it. I don't like it. Maybe I guess I would blame them when they're adults. But at the end of the day, when you mistreat a child, you completely change the way they think, the way they feel. You don't create socialized human beings. You create wild animals. And that's, I say this not because I don't have complete compassion for the child, because I know that some Republicans don't give a damn about the child, don't give a damn particularly about a brown child. So I'm trying to say this in ways that they'll understand. Yes, they can come after you. They can come after you and your family because you helped create these monsters.
What's his name? Niemöller?
Yeah, Martin Niemöller. Pastor Martin Niemöller in Germany said, first they came for the trade unionists, but I was not a trade unionist, and they came for the disabled, and they came for the Jews. I was not a Jew. I said nothing.
Well, they come for the little brown children,
right,
and they're going to come for your disabled child.
That's
next.
Right. Then they came for me, and there was no one left.
Older people.
There was no one left to speak out. There's a petition signed by thousands of mental health professionals and 90 organizations to Trump and Attorney General Jeff Sessions that says, quote, "To pretend that separated children do not grow up with the shrapnel of this traumatic experience embedded in their minds is to disregard everything we know about child development, the brain, and trauma." It goes on. Most people who claim to be, most people who are Republicans claim to have some compassion, claim that they're not racist, claim that they do care about children. Many of them talk about family values, usually when they're persecuting gay people or trying to force women to do what they want with the women's bodies. But a small child crying for their mommy? I mean, I don't know about you. If I saw a 3-year-old in a mall all alone and crying for their mommy, I would go over and try to help that child. A complete stranger, just to see that pain and agony. I try to find that child's mother. That's what I would do with a complete stranger. That this is U.S. policy is offensive, and it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to be an American knowing that these things are being done in our name. Anyway, thanks for calling, Tamara. I appreciate it. Let me move on in the last 5 minutes or so to talk about the United States Supreme Court opinion that just came down. The case is the case of Gill v. Whitford. It's the case that came down about gerrymandering out of Wisconsin. And I've been looking forward to this case. I've talked about it. This is the case that, had it gone our way, could have ended gerrymandering nationwide. Four justices of the Supreme Court, the four justices appointed by Democrats, Sotomayor and Kagan and Ginsburg and Breyer, are ready to end gerrymandering in this country. The four conservatives, of course, are not. Scalia's gone. Alito, Roberts, Gorsuch, Thomas, they all want gerrymandering because it's a great way to let a minority have power. It's a great way to discount voters, to ignore voters, and to allow minority rule, really to allow a dictatorship, because once the people are no longer in charge, it's just a group of, well, people running without legitimacy. So the swing vote has always been Justice Anthony Kennedy, who is definitely a conservative, but less extreme than his four conservative colleagues on the bench. And the Wisconsin case was a really good case, I thought, because it demonstrated conclusively not just that gerrymandering prevented the voters' wishes from being effectuated, but also that it could be shown scientifically, it could be calculated to an exact number. Kennedy had said before that he hates gerrymandering, but he couldn't figure out how to calculate it. This was the case for them. I happen to know Virginia very well because I'm a Virginia state delegate. And I know, for example, that in the Commonwealth of Virginia, 1.3 million Virginians voted for Democrats to represent them in the Virginia House of Delegates. More than 1.3 million. Less than 1.1 million, actually about 1,075,000, voted for Republicans. So Democrats beat Republicans by more than 21%. More than 1.3 million to less than 1.1 million. And yet, well, Republicans still control the Virginia House of Delegates. That's the power of gerrymandering. That's the power of a determined dictatorial minority to take power and keep power, despite the fact that the voters don't want them in power. So, yes, I was hoping the Wisconsin case would be the case nationwide to change everything. And it still may be. But the Supreme Court ruled today that the case wasn't tried right, that the people who presented the evidence didn't show that there were plaintiffs who actually lived in the districts that were being harmed. And it's a very technical reason to dismiss the case. But dismiss it they did. But they remanded it to try again. And that's what the four liberals and Justice Kennedy wanted to do. So all I can say is it's a redo. We haven't lost the case. We haven't won the case. We haven't lost the case. The case continues. And damn it, I still remain somewhat hopeful. I remember there was a decision a couple years before marriage equality where there was an indication that it was coming around the corner. I see this as a good sign that maybe in a couple years we'll stop gerrymandering. Now, I should note, in a couple years, I expect Democrats in 2020 to control state legislatures all across the country. And so the stopping of gerrymandering will probably not work to stop current Republican rule, but will work to stop Democrats in 2021 from gerrymandering to our advantage. But if it ends gerrymandering in the United States, it's a decision well worth having, even if they're doing it just to give Republicans as much power as possible. At the end of the day, voters have to be in charge. And if you oppose taking children as hostages, or you just oppose gerrymandering, you got to vote for the Democratic Party this fall, November 2018. This is Mark Levine signing off. This Friday, my anniversary show.